This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome into Redacted on this Monday. Thank you guys so much for your patience. We had some major technical issues here, and we really apologize for that. But thank you for joining us. We've got a lot of great guests for you on today's show. Joining us in just a little bit, we are going to be looking at what's going on in the UK. UK erupting in violence and protests. And, well, if you listen to the way the mainstream media portrays it, is that it's absolute violence. But, in fact, hundreds of thousands of people pouring into the streets saying, enough is enough, we want our country back. But there were a few incidents of violence. Of course, the mainstream media amplifying that, of course. We're going to talk about that in just moments. But we're also going to look at the false flags and the copycat attacks that could be coming against conservative commentators. This is, of course, a huge concern. In the wake of the Charlie Kirk assassination, who will they target next? Who are they going to go after next? It's all part of a plan that seems to be coming together for the leftists. This is not some random act. This is all part of a larger plan, which we're going to unpack today on the show. So thank you guys for joining us. Natalie's not here. She had to bail because of the time difference here. Sorry, now I'm hearing myself twice. There we go. But we had all sorts of issues. So we appreciate you sticking with us here. We're basically rebuilding the studio as we speak. So apologies for that. So let us know where you're joining us from. Thank you guys for joining us late here. This is about an hour after we normally would be live. So we really appreciate you joining us here. People in the chat saying, finally, is this AI? J.R. Cooper. No, this is not AI. This is really me. This is our team, like, flustered that we had all these technical issues here. So we are a small team. We don't have like lots of big pharma donors supporting us. We're supported by you and our small team here. So thank you guys so much for that. All right, let's get into the news, shall we? So get ready, because it's already started. The copycats, the false flags, already targeting conservatives and thought leaders. It has begun in earnest. The death threats, the swatting events, foiled bomb attack in Utah last night, by the way. They're not stopping with Charlie Kirk. You knew this was going to be the case. Vice President J.D. Vance just sent a message to all of these crazy, violent leftists. We are on to you. Watch.
There is no unity with people who scream at children over their parents' politics. There is no unity with someone who lies about what Charlie Kirk said in order to excuse his murder. There is no unity with someone who harasses an innocent family the day after the father of that family lost a dear friend. There is no unity with the people who celebrate Charlie Kirk's assassination. And there is no unity with the people who fund these articles, who pay the salaries of these terrorist sympathizers, who argue that Charlie Kirk, a loving husband and father, deserved a shot to the neck because he spoke words with which they disagree. Did you know that the George Soros Open Society Foundation and the Ford Foundation, the groups who funded that disgusting article justifying Charlie's death, do you know they benefit from generous tax treatment? They are literally subsidized by you and me, the American taxpayer. And how do they reward us? By setting fire to the house built by the American family over 250 years. I am desperate for our country to be united in condemnation of the actions and the ideas that killed my friend. I want it so badly that I will tell you a difficult truth. We can only have it with people who acknowledge that political violence is unacceptable, and when we work to dismantle the institutions that promote violence and terrorism in our own country. There is.
So can you, just to wrap your head around the insane individuals right now who are calling for more assassinations. I mean, do you not think there will be any consequences? Like, it's different than saying you didn't like Charlie Kirk and you were against him. But calling for additional assassinations against people across the United States, that is illegal. Incitement to violence, that is illegal. Like, that is not protected speech. Calling for the killing of Matt Walsh or other individuals, That is not protected. As Megyn Kelly just said, they got one of us, and now it opens the floodgates. Watch.
You said now they're killing commentators, but as you know, since you're in this business, ask anyone in this business, has anyone ever tried to do this to you? And you'll find a lot of people who will say yes. This has been going on a while, and no one wants to talk about it. It freaks your family out when you talk about it. But the truth is, this is not new, and I'm just so sad.
They got
truly,
one.
Truly sad.
They got that, one, Tucker, and that's why I say it's a before and after moment. It's a before and after, because, you know, now...
No, it's true.
Now you have to grapple with copycats. Now you have to grapple with this as an option, in the same way that Columbine crossed a line and created this new genre of violence. This is potentially where we're at now with political dialogue. It's so antithetical to, yes, goodness and Christianity and all of it, but also just to the First Amendment and being an American.
Yes, that's right. Well, which is based on Christianity, by the way. We have a First Amendment because we believe God gave us the right to decide and to say
that's
what
right.
we think. It's the only reason we have the Bill of Rights. You said now they're killing commentators, but as you know, since you're in this business.
So they are, that's exactly what they're going to do. And I can tell you, just sort of a personal story here from conservative friends who have received these types of death threats, swatting events. Some have been public, many have not. And it's deeply disturbing. As Tucker briefly kind of mentioned there, he's like, you know, people don't want to talk about it because it can really upset their family. Yeah. Yeah, people can really don't want to talk about it because it can upset their family. That's exactly right. So these people are sick. These people are sick, and now this opens the floodgates for them to put this plan in place. Alex Jones told Steve Bannon this morning that they're shutting down these, you know, black colleges. They're pretending to use white supremacists because they're under threat. Really? False flag attacks, copycats coming. This is all part of a plan to say that these are, you know, the greatest threat to the United States, as, by the way, Joe Biden told us, is white supremacy. Is, and as Alejandro Mayorkas told us, the greatest threat to the United States of America is not illegal immigrants pouring across our border, which he facilitated. No, no, no. It's you and me. It's right-wing conservatives. That's the greatest threat to the United States of America. And this is part of their plan. Listen, Alex.
Courts, they talk about it publicly. They talk about it on X. They have teachers, lawyers, mainly teachers, doctors, everywhere celebrating Kirk's death. And now saying, here's the other people we want to kill. And of course, it's you and it's me and it's everybody else that is prominent. They believe to then finally get right wingers to lash out violently, or they're going to stage a false flag and then blame us that we were doing this for Charlie. And the last piece was the black colleges all closing because of bomb threats and, you know, people mad that Charlie Kirk was killed, obviously staged. They're getting ready to hit a migrant demonstration. They're getting ready to hit a black college or a black church, something like that. And then it is off the races. I know Trump's done a soft launch for the National Guard.
So we, of course, know. And by the way, someone in the chat saying, you know, I can't believe you're falling for it. I'm not falling for it. But who's falling for it? Like, what exactly are they falling for? Like, we want answers in this investigation. But I can tell you what you can see with your own eyes is death threats being made against people online already. Like, that's undeniable. So who was behind it? Was it Israel? Was it the deep state in the United States government behind it? Was it trans cultists behind it? All of it? We don't exactly know yet. And we need the testimony of this individual. We need everything out there in the public. We do, of course, know that most mass shootings in the United States of America over the past decade have been carried out by lunatic transgender individuals. We now know that Tyler Robinson, the alleged shooter, was dating a transgender guy, his roommate. They were lovers and was likely radicalized in that environment. His trans boyfriend, according to reports this morning, is cooperating with the FBI. He's been showing text messages. In fact, one of the text messages he showed where he admits that Tyler left the gun in the woods wrapped in a towel and he needs to go back and get it. So he's cooperating with the FBI. So it's no surprise, though, because this trans individual, that the organization called GLAAD which represents the LGBTQ people, is now smearing Charlie Kirk and directly putting a target on the backs of conservative commentators who call out the trans violence. According to The Federalist this morning, a spokesperson for GLAAD told the gay publication The Advocate that Charlie Kirk spread, quote, lies and vitriol about transgender people, end quote, at his events, which is a blatant lie, is a total falsehood. And if you've ever seen him interacting with a trans individual, it was always with kindness and respect. So this is a total lie, but don't let, you know, facts get in the way of your lies. GLAAD said that conservative speakers like Riley Gaines, Chloe Cole, Pastor Yunsen Yu are other examples of Charlie Kirk's spreading of lies. That, and by the way, Chloe Cole is pissed about this. You'll recall Chloe Cole is a woman who detransitioned after trying to become a man when she was young. It's her biggest regret. She posted this on X. I want you to read this statement that GLAAD put out so you all understand that this isn't just a fringe group on the left that is justifying the murder of Charlie Kirk. This is a multi-million dollar institution that accused Charlie of spreading lies and vitriol through Riley Gaines, Pastor Yunsen Yu, and I. Naming the three of us in this statement is putting a target on our backs, and it normalizes the violence that took place in Utah. They do not care if we die because they think we are Nazis. This is the reality of a large amount of the Democratic Party in America. So here's a woman who tried to become a man, speaks openly about what an incredible regret this was in her life, trying to warn other people about it, and she's a Nazi. GLAAD spends its time targeting people who call out the dangerous trans agenda, therefore defending violence. So was this part of some larger trans cult that they were involved with? I guess we'll see as this information comes out. We've got more news to get to. Let's talk about Gaza, shall we? Israel has ramped up its military operation in Gaza City over the past 24 hours, pounding targets across the city. As the IDF says, more than 300,000 Palestinians have now fled Gaza City in the past few weeks. Caravans of Palestinians trying to get out. And as they're trying to get out, of course, what happens? They're bombed. Just like at a school over the weekend. Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu signed off on a major new settlement expansion in the West Bank, and he declared flatly, quote, there will never be a Palestinian state, end quote. So what about the two-state solution that the U.S. is apparently in support of? I guess that's out the window now. Marco Rubio was just there in Israel, kind of kissing his ass. So that two-state solution is gone, ignored. It's always been part of the plan, the Greater Israel Project, as you know. So the demon Benjamin Netanyahu is doing exactly what he's always wanted to do with this land grab. The new settlement expansion plan, long frozen under the international pressure, has now been greenlit. The timing is deliberate, of course. Israel may as well take the hit for both Gaza and the West Bank at once while the United States is totally distracted with everything that we're dealing with right now. Charlie Kirk's assassination, what other political unrest and violence across the United States now in the wake of all of this? While the United States is completely focused on this country may be descending into civil war over leftist mobs trying to attack conservatives and, you know, all of that. They can carry this out. By the way, did you notice this weekend it was totally ramped up? Huge attacks, multiple areas. While we're all distracted, it's all part of the plan.
Yeah,
of course,
they're stupid. I saw several videos where they're just intentionally dropping high rises. They're just bombing residential high rises. They're basically every building they blow up, they claim, well, Hamas was using it.
Hamas was
no
there.
Evidence. They just, yep.
Just like they did with the school this weekend. Hamas. It's always Hamas. Can we talk about how you guys fund Hamas, created Hamas? The United States and Israel created and still fund Hamas today through proxies? Can we talk about that? No, we can't talk about that. We can't talk about that. You're an anti-Semite if you bring that up. Really? Well, there's tape of Netanyahu openly talking about creating of Hamas. You can go seek it out for yourself. So that's anti-Semitic. F off. Sick of it. No one cares anymore. No one's falling for your bullshit. So while we're all distracted, this is going on. The expansion, so no two-state solution anymore. Expansion calls for thousands of new housing units and infrastructure in the sensitive E1 corridor. That corridor is strategically critical, of course. By building there, Israel bisects the West Bank and cuts Palestinians off from East Jerusalem. A death blow to any two-state solution. It's not going to happen. Now, we've been saying this for well over a year. I mean, ever since Israel stood down on October 7th and allowed that attack to happen, which has been confirmed, IDF has confirmed that. And we know that from the Egyptian sources. I was in Egypt at the time, and Egyptian officials were reporting that, yes, we in fact told them that this was coming, and they didn't do anything about it. So this was all part of the plan, all along. So this was never in the works that there was going to be a two-state solution. We knew this all along, sadly. According to rights groups, as many as 7,000 Palestinians will be displaced by this new construction. The move also follows Israel's ongoing full military occupation, of course, of Gaza, and they will have permanent control of this area. Make no mistake about it. Reactions, though, are mounting. Palestinian officials say this proves Israel never intended to allow Palestinian sovereignty. Duh, we all knew that. The EU, the UN, expected to issue condemnations, but they don't have any teeth. What's going to happen? Nothing. Not to the United States. The United States will full-on support this, of course. Secretary of State Rubio spent the weekend there kissing Netanyahu's ass and making his pilgrimage there and throwing his steadfast support behind Israel. He's apparently supporting this bill that's making its way through Congress right now, which would revoke the passports of Americans who openly criticize Israel. Citizens would have their passports and their inability to travel if you criticize Israel. Where the hell do we live? Like, what is going on here? Netanyahu even admitted, though, this weekend that Israel is isolated and the world is turning against them. Imagine that.
מדינות כמו קטר וכמו סין השקיעו ומשקיעים סכומי עתק להשפיע על התקשורת המערבית באג'נדה אנטי-ישראלית, בבוטים, בבינה מלאכותית, בפרסומים. אתה פותח את הטלפון ואתה מופצץ, אתה רואה את זה בראש ובראשונה בטיק טוק, אין ספק בכלל, זה דבר עם עוצמות הרבה יותר גדולות מהתקשורת המסורתית. היא מתה את התקשורת המסורתית שמצטרפת למיעוטים האסלאמיים שמתאים את המדיניות של ממשלות המערב.
Yeah, so people, information is getting out there, particularly on TikTok and social media. Whenever you open up your phone, it's just AI. It's just AI showing you a whole bunch of lies about Israel. They think that we're stupid, don't they?
Yeah, like it absolves them of the responsibility. It's not people. People aren't upset with Israel. Oh, no. The people love us. It's the bots. It's bots and AI. That's it.
Right. Just bots and AI. You're retarded. We're not stupid. You just open your phone and, oh my God, what's all this AI doing on here that says Israel's bombing children? I saw the bodies today of seven little babies that were killed over the weekend. That's AI. I guess it's AI. TikTok, social media. Sure. Okay. Right. And so people are right to question. George, a friend of the show, George Galloway, today did a really great job. He flipped out. I love George. He flipped out. He said, you don't get to call me anti-Semitic when I start to question the laundry list, just in my lifetime, the laundry list of individuals that Israel has targeted and assassinated. For us to question the death of Charlie Kirk as being tied to Israel. You don't get to tell me I'm being anti-Semitic. And George just flipped out. And I loved every second of it. So suddenly Netanyahu's been on this big PR tour. He's doing interviews like crazy. They're putting up like billboards around Israel. Like, we love Charlie Kirk. We're going to devote a park in his name to Charlie Kirk. Really? Really? Okay. Overcompensating much? We loved Charlie Kirk. Sure you did. Yeah, really? when he turned down like large donations from Israel. Okay. And obviously it's complicated, but you love Charlie Kirk. Sure you did. Sure you did. We'll be watching that. Two-state solution gone. Meanwhile, this is a very important story. Very important. And I hope you will share this with people around the world, because the EU is preparing a Maidan-style coup in Serbia. Mark my words, this is coming, folks. According to Russian intelligence service, the EU is trying to overthrow the Serbian government in a Ukrainian-style Maidan coup. We've been warning about this for months, hearing from journalists in Serbia who've been saying, have been telling, they're like, Clayton, something big is coming. I'm telling you, something big is coming in Serbia. Begging us here at Redacted to cover this story, and we have been. And we're trying to shine as much light as possible on this story. All eyes on the Balkans right now. I know we're all concerned with what happened with Charlie Kirk, and rightly so. We just covered what's going on in Israel. But I'm telling you, the Balkans right now is a powder keg, and it is waiting to go off. Yesterday, Serbian President Vucic said governments in the EU are financing protests. They've so far spent over $4 billion. $4 billion inciting violence and unrest inside of Serbia. And frankly, across the Balkans. EU governments and the United States have been financing protests across Serbia, trying to destabilize this government. Watch for something to happen near September 20th or as we approach November 1st. On September 20th, Serbia is celebrating its Armed Forces Day. They're getting tanks and military equipment ready for that massive parade. So Vucic, but also on November 1st, but I'll talk more about that in a second. So Vucic just admitted that billions are being spent to collapse his government and install a Western-backed proxy government. But he admits that he had to remain silent about it prior so as not to violate any neutrality agreements between his country and theirs. Russian intelligence reports say the EU via NGOs are planning to start protests on November 1st as well. And you see what influence, obviously, the sphere of influence, what Western governments want within the Balkans. I mean, Russia would love nothing more to have than ports all along the Adriatic Sea all through that entire region along the Adriatic and Aegean Sea. The United States would love nothing more to have than a presence, of course, inside and push Kosovo. And, look, we built a freaking military base there, for crying out loud, after Bill Clinton oversaw the bombing campaign for 78 days, which destroyed Belgrade, which you can still see the remnants of. I was there, and I walked down the streets of Belgrade, and you see bombed out buildings where NATO bombed them. So these wounds are very fresh in Serbia. But something is coming, and they're actively, and of course USAID, Samantha Power, and all of them were actively funneling as much money as they could into this area to try to destabilize Serbia. So our hearts go out to the people of Serbia. We love you here at Redacted, and we are going to shine a light on this as much as possible. I think if we can get out in front of this false flag and out in front of this Maidan-style coup, we won't have a repeat of what happened in Ukraine, because I would be absolutely heartbroken if the people of Serbia have to deal with what happened in Ukraine happens in your country. Alan Savory. Well, let's talk about him in a second here. I want to talk about him in a second. But first, let me just tell you about our friends over at American Financing, because the cost of everything is still out of control. And many of us are relying on credit cards to cover essentials. I mean, if that debt is piling up, you're not alone right now. Americans collectively owe over $1 trillion in credit card debt. You might have considered reaching out to our friends at American Financing, but hesitated because you don't want to give up your low mortgage rate or anything else. Well, there's good news. They've created the Smart Equity Loan, a solution designed to help you take control of your finances without touching your current mortgage. And unlike a HELOC, which can have varied interest rates, the Smart Equity Loan offers a fixed rate. That means one predictable monthly payment, giving you peace of mind. And this loan allows you basically to leverage the equity in your home to pay off high interest debt, free up the cash cash flow and keep your existing low mortgage rate intact. It only takes 10 minutes to get started. No upfront or hidden fees. Just call them. Call American Financing today, right now, to start saving. 866-890-8434 today. Again, 866-890-8434. Or just visit AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. Here's the disclaimer. NMLS number 182334. Or you can go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the five start at 6.327% for well-qualified borrowers. Call again. Call 866-890-8434 for details about credit costs and terms. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. Just checking in on this. And... okay. All right. So we will check in on all of that. Let me just check in on my notes here. Sorry. Flying solo today. And I thank you for your patience earlier. Of course, we had all sorts of audio technical issues here and rebuilding of software, rebuilding of our entire studio. And I know there was some audio out of sync. I think we fixed that though, right? The audio sync issue has been updated and fixed now, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Good, good, good. All right. Let's talk about Alan Savory. He was right about the cows. So today is the 90th birthday of Alan Savory, and I just want to take the opportunity to afford him an I told you so. If you don't know who he is, when Natalie and I first learned about Alan, we were blown away by his research. I mean, this is one of those things where when you learn about this guy, your jaw just hits the floor. And you wish more people would share his information and research with the world because it's so powerful. Do you guys know who he is? Do you guys know who Alan Savory is? Well, let me introduce you to him and if you don't know, and suggest that you must watch his amazing TED Talk. If we were to play any clips of his TED Talk here, they would copyright strike us. That's what TED does. But anyway, forget about that. You've got to watch his TED Talk. If you don't know who he is, Savory is an ecologist who proved that carefully managed herds of ruminant animals can actually restore soil, regenerate entire grasslands, and reverse desertification. That's hard. That's a hard word to say. Desertification. Desertification? Desertification. I'm thinking desert. I'm thinking like it'll stop you from having dessert. No, it'll stop you. It'll stop it from turning into a desert. He gave a TED Talk about it. Years ago, it was so powerful that climate activists tried to get it canceled because it didn't fit their narrative. They tried to hide it. The talk has nearly 6 million views. Again, we can't show it here. They'll copyright strike us, but it's absolutely worth watching it, and your whole family should sit down and watch it. You guys will all be like, what did we just hear? Holy smokes, why was this being kept from me? Why was it being redacted, if you will? That's what we cover here on this show. So anyway, we'll put a link in it in the newsletter tomorrow. So his data is shocking. I'm just going to go over some of his data. Why did climate activists hate it? Well, because they hate cows and they want you to eat Impossible Burgers, which is fake, highly processed garbage. It could be one reason. They want to kill cows. Of course, they want to cull entire herds of cows in the name of climate. His work proves how misguided that is. This talk still has a disclaimer on it from TED. Like, if you go and watch the TED Talk, TED blog says, but some critics have challenged the hypothesis. For example, one recent report argues that any gains from greening after grazing are more than offset by methane and emitted by the grazing animals. So they're still pushing this total bullshit argument that methane from our livestock is causing global warming. I mean, do they really think we're that retarded? They think we're stupid. And yet to this day, TED slaps a disclaimer on this talk for claiming that methane from grazing animals would offset the benefits of restoring land. Think about how absurd that is. Leave the earth barren because of methane. So let it turn into a desert because of methane. Okay, here's the reality. Methane from cows is short-lived. It breaks down in about a decade. And unlike fossil CO2 that piles up for centuries, meanwhile, regenerating soils with managed herds pulls massive amounts of carbon out of the air and locks it underground. Without animals, the land turns into a desert and stops absorbing anything. And let's not forget, for millions of years, vast herds of bison, wildebeests roamed the earth, emitting methane while building thriving ecosystems. The problem isn't cows, it's bad management. And Savory pointed out that when you manage them properly, they don't destroy the planet. In fact, they save it. Ted doesn't make that distinction at all in their little Ted blog post, by the way. This talk is 12 years old, and think of all the land that could have been regenerated if we'd actually listened to him. Fortunately, people are. It's amazing what's happened through Africa with some of his test and pilot programs back in the day. I mean, you were literally looking at like a desert, and they put these ruminant animals on there. You're like, well, where are they going to eat? Like, how are they going to even eat anything? There's nothing here. And it's remarkable that they managed to survive on this like barren land, and suddenly in a short amount of time, there's like green growing up through this desert. When Natalie told me today, she's like, we got to do this piece on the show. I'm like, yes, because it was such a jaw-dropping bit of research and study that needs to be amplified. The cows have an unbelievable reputation for repair. So if we can amplify this talk, it'd be amazing, right? Just today, the Wall Street Journal reported how milk is back. And so is the Got Milk campaign from the 90s, because people are realizing the fake milk is not only gross, it's horrible for your body, really bad for you. Like people that drink oat milk, it's like the worst. Oats are largely one of the worst things you could possibly eat. And then have milk made out of it? Come on.
Well, and almond milk, like the amount of water waste to make almond milk is astounding. Like look into it sometime like that. Like the amount of water, the gallons of water it takes to make a gallon of almond milk is ridiculous.
Right. I don't even know the amount, but I know you know way more about it than I do. It's crazy. And you think, oh, we're doing this good for the environment. Methane from the cows. Drinking milk is bad for you. Really? According to the Wall Street Journal, the dairy industry in California has faced years of challenges, including a trend toward plant milk. The momentum seems to be shifting, according to the Wall Street Journal. Dairy milk sales in the United States declined by 0.3% by volume over the 52 weeks that ended August 10th, grew 4.6% in dollar terms, according to market research from Circana. Meanwhile, these plant-based milks are losing market share, which the Wall Street Journal attributes to rising prices of products in the category and consumers' desire for clean ingredient labels. Plant milks are anything but clean. They are a science project just filled with seed oils. I kind of like cringe when I hear like a woman walks into like Starbucks or one of these coffee places. She's like, yeah, I'll have an oat milk latte. I'm like, ooh. She doesn't know what she's doing. It's full of seed oils, full of stabilizers, chemicals, with a higher carb load. It's a huge glycemic spike in your body, way higher than dairy milk. U.S. plant milk sales declined 6.1% through August. So people maybe, and just they're so expensive, but also people maybe are waking up about it. It's the same story across vegan products. More broadly, people are becoming educated about vegan products. The hype peaked apparently in 2022, and they have been since declining ever since, like Impossible Burgers and all those highly processed seed oil things that are terrible for your body and the environment. Vegans are like, yeah, we're protecting the environment. Really? Do you know how much farmland had to be destroyed, basically? How many prairie dogs and mice and everything else had to be destroyed to make your little Impossible Burger? You're so good for the environment with your Impossible Burger. The Got Milk campaign revival is starting in California. 12,000 residents there taking milk mustache photos in mobile photo studios across the state. I was never a big fan of it, to be honest with you, like that. I just don't like, you know, like, hey, wipe that milk off your face. I was never a big fan of it, but I guess it worked. So again, cows are not the problem. By the way, here's the Golden Lab. Oh, here's the Golden Lab one. I think we have a video of this. Watch this. So yeah, we get it from a local dairy as well, and they deliver it, and we have the little milk box, you know, out front, and they deliver it right to our house, right from the farm, and it's delicious. And the kids, you know, my son is now, I think he's grown like 5 inches in the past few months. Like he just keeps, he's 15 years old. And every time like people come over, like, did you grow again? He drinks like 3 glasses of milk a day and, you know, we're like, eat your meat. That's why he keeps growing. So again, cows are not the problem. And in many ways, they are the answer. Alan Savory tried to warn us and he got dogpiled, but he was right. Happy 90th birthday to Alan. Save the cows and happy birthday to Alan. All right, we got more news to get to here on your Monday, if you can believe it. We're going to talk about revolution in the UK. We'll talk about that in a second. We're also going to talk about Charlie Kirk's lasting legacy. Alex Newman has written a great piece and it kind of echoes something I had said over the weekend that, I should say Erica, his wife, said it. And I then posted a video about it, but this idea, she said, you know, the evildoers thought they were silencing Charlie. They just unleashed something that they had no idea they were about to unleash. And I think we're seeing it. We're seeing it among young people. I was just talking to neighbors and then just walking the dog and people are saying, my son wants to volunteer. He's joined, you know, it's unbelievable. Like what's happening right now. They unleashed something huge. And I am there for it. I am absolutely there for it. But first, I don't know if you guys saw this, but the price of gold just skyrocketed, just hit a new all-time high today, right now. Of course, this all comes ahead of what the Fed is about to do to further devalue the U.S. dollar. The Fed is about, of course, to lower interest rates, which will devalue the U.S. dollar. And this is all part of the plan. They don't want a strong U.S. dollar. And therefore, where do people go? They're going into silver. They're going into gold right now in a big, big way. Silver just hit a 15-year high. This is a generational hit for silver. And gold today hit a brand new all-time high. You know, J.P. Morgan predicting $4,000 an ounce for gold. Others, Bank of America has it at $4,000. I think J.P. Morgan has it at like $4,500 an ounce for gold. And I've seen other estimates of $6,000 an ounce for gold. That is coming. So it's all about wealth preservation. For me, like if you're like, oh, I don't need to worry about making, you know, buying gold to get rich. No. Buying gold and silver, it's not about getting rich. It's not a get rich quick scheme. What it is protecting your family. And I've been saying it for years on this show. It's great that gold is going up and it's appreciating. That's wonderful. You don't want things to go down, right? But that's not why you invest in precious metals and you know in real estate, frankly. It's wealth preservation. It's wealth preservation. I talked to a good friend of mine, Robert Kiyosaki. He wrote the book, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He said, what people don't understand, it's about protecting your family. It's about protecting your hard-earned assets. And, you know, that's stayed with me for years since he told that to me. And that's why he invests in precious metals. That's why he invests in real estate. And that's why I have. Because do you want your family's future tied to the U.S. dollar? The answer is no, you don't. So if you've got some money in savings right now, like in a U.S. checking account or U.S. savings account, and it's earning like 0.03% interest, well, you're losing money every day because of inflation. Think about that. If you're making only like 0.03% in a savings account and inflation is 3%, then that means every day your dollar is sitting there, it's losing money. It's losing value. And that's a fact. So, I mean, just think about what you could buy like a Big Mac in the 1980s, right? I saw a commercial for McDonald's the other day. It was like, you could go and buy a Big Mac meal. It was like $2. It's the same damn Big Mac today. No difference. But now it's like, what, $10? I don't even know, but it's ridiculous. Anyway, all that to say, it's about wealth preservation, protecting your family, and our friends at Lear Capital can help you do this, okay? They're an American company. You have nothing at all to risk at all. Just get on the phone with them and they'll do a free wealth consultation with you. Free. Just have a conversation with them about how, hey, here's my situation. Maybe you're a multimillionaire or maybe you don't have a lot of money. It doesn't matter. They work with everybody. And they'll just get on the phone with you and talk you through the process. And they'll say, and you just tell them what your situation is right now. I've got 2 kids going off to college. I've got this, I've got that. And they'll walk you through the process and see if it's right for you and how you can start investing in precious metals. call them, 1-800-613-3557. Get on the phone with them, or just go to LearRedacted.com. Again, call them, 1-800-613-3557. I much prefer having a phone call with a human being. In this day and age, you don't want your family's future tied to a website. So talk to them. Let them know your situation. They're a fantastic American company. They've been supporters of Redacted for years. So our thanks to them for supporting our show. All right, let's talk about the UK. We had a special guest lined up for you from the UK today, but we had some issues and a scheduling conflict, unfortunately, in London. We're going to try to have that again for you tomorrow, but I want to give you the rundown of what's going on there right now, because the UK is in a revolution. Make no mistake about it. You cannot put this genie back in the bottle at this point. The people of the UK have had enough. Over 100,000 people showed up to the Unite the Kingdom rally in London over the weekend. Some estimates say that number was far larger. Of course, if you listen to the mainstream media, they're like, it was a few thousand people. Right. Okay. Just a few thousand people. The rally was organized to oppose immigration, calls for stronger border controls, and promote free speech and national unity. These people are sick and tired of being arrested for their tweets, for being held at the airport for 6 hours because of a post on social media that criticizes the government. Yes, the protests were mostly peaceful, and police say that there were just a dozen of police officers harmed and at least 25 arrests. So certain police officers were harmed and 25 arrests. Keir Starmer, the prime minister, said that the country will not stand for assaults on police officers doing their job, or for people feeling intimidated on our streets because of their background or the color of their skin. Britain is a nation proudly built on tolerance, diversity, and respect. Our flag represents our diverse country, and we will never surrender it to those who use it as a symbol of violence and fear or division. Some say the violence stemmed from police directing crowds into counter-protests on purpose, where Antifa protesters were chanting "Charlie's in a box" to celebrate the murder of conservative commentator Charlie Kirk. So imagine that, just like they did on January 6th, intentionally starting fights and to get these people to fight. So the police directing parts of the rally into areas where there was Antifa guys chanting "Charlie and is in a box." I would be hard pressed if someone pushed me around the corner and I'm face to face with one of these leftist nut jobs. Like, I don't start fights, but I would be hard pressed not to. I'd be hard pressed not to knock a guy out. I'm sorry. So they knew exactly what they were doing, by the way. And of course, then the cameras are right there, right? So, hey, drive these people around the corner where there's Antifa people hanging out. Get them to get into a fight and capture it on camera. Show it all over the BBC and talk about how these far right wing nut jobs are sowing division. These guys are bigots. They want our borders closed. They're tired of young people being raped in the park. Aren't they bigoted? Put it in perspective. 25 arrests is a remarkably low figure for a crowd this large. By comparison, there were nearly 900 arrests at a Palestinian Action protest just weeks ago, almost 500 people at last month's Notting Hill Carnival. Guess go to a carnival in Notting Hill and, you know, the beer is flowing, 500 people arrested. 25 for this one? Neither of which drew anywhere near 100,000 people, which again is a low estimate to my mind. The prime minister did not take 2X at all to say anything about those events. Hey, all you carnival people, stop fighting. No, but he had to say something about this, of course. The government leans on labels like far right and violence to sidestep the substance of what was on display, which was a potent populist movement demanding to be heard. We were in Glasgow just a few weeks ago, or well, I should say about 2 months ago now, I guess. I've lose track. But and we were near Edinburgh as well. And just the, we were talking to a bunch of pensioners, you know, retirees who were telling us that, you know, in Scotland, their country has changed forever. They can't live in the city anymore. They've been pushed out by immigrants, where people who are expecting some sort of a help from the government, they're not getting it anymore. They're giving it in favor to the illegal, the immigrants that are pouring in, coming from France, coming across the English Channel, getting better benefits than they get in France. That's why they're coming there, because they get more money from the government and they don't have to work. Their culture is being destroyed. Their way of life is being destroyed. And the blue-collar individuals who work their asses off across the UK are watching as these other people who are coming into their country aren't working at all, and they're getting all these government benefits. One individual we talked to said that their daughter had a really severe form, required a lot of government assistance handicapped, really, a really handicapped individual. And they were waiting on a particular flat. They had to get on like a list in order to get a flat that would be like handicapped accessible or something like that. And they had been on this list for so long. And when they found out that immigrants were put in the front of the list and were given the flat before them. So their own citizens are being just jacked around by all of this. So this is a country in revolution right now. And it's coming to the rest of Europe, by the way. You're seeing protests in Portugal. We've been seeing them across Spain. You're seeing them in Germany. Germany, by the way, which is now trying to militarize upwards of 100,000 people to add to this mix. 100,000 people being brought in to add to this, to join, become part of the military. Well, we've got more news to get to here on your Monday. Can't believe it's Monday. We're going to talk to Alex Newman. He's written a great new piece on how Charlie Kirk's voice ideas will be magnified beyond anything the world has ever seen before. And I think he's absolutely right about that. We're going to talk with Alex here in a second. But first, guess who's back and wants to tell us all about Armra?
I absolutely do. I'm glad to be back. I forgot to bring glasses, so I will do my best. Thank you for sticking with us, you guys, through all of this. I'm back. And yeah, we're going to get to these things. And first, I will tell you about our friends over at Armra, because did you know that colostrum is the first substance that mammals drink from their mothers? It is a potent antibiotic. It is a potent laxative. It is chock full of basically everything you need to build a strong microbiome. Well, our friends over at Armra have found a way to harness that so that you don't have to be a newborn to get it. In fact, they get it sustainably from cows. And it can help fortify your gut health, help with all manner of healing, whether you have a stressful exercise regime or not. It helps to rebuild your entire gut wall system, optimizing your microbiome and strengthening the gut wall architecture, which is also good for immunity. There are so many great things that this is good for. You should check it out for yourself, including metabolism, hair growth, skin radiance, all of that stuff. So if you go to our link and make sure that you tell them that Redacted sent you, you can try this for yourself. And let's see, where is our link? It's not here. Here it is. Go to armra.com/redacted. And if you enter the code redacted, you'll get 30% off your first subscription. That's armra.com/redacted. That's armra.com/redacted, and make sure you try it, because again, colostrum is nature's first whole food. It has over 500 bioactive nutrients. Study this for yourself. armra.com/redacted.
Now, I should say, I guess, Simon, I can mention this. Tommy Robinson was supposed to be joining us here. He got held up. He's in the middle of all of this craziness over there, and he got pulled aside. So he was going to be joining us live here on the show. We're trying to get him back. If we can, hopefully I'll have him on tomorrow to talk about everything that's happening in the UK right now and the protests there. So it's been a kind of a crazy day around here. So anyway, just want to put that out there, let you know that we're trying to get Tommy back on the show tomorrow. And he regrets that he was supposed to be here, but you know, that's the way life is
when
you're in the middle of crazy protests. Okay.
We're rolling with the punches today, you guys.
Well, our next guest says that Charlie Kirk's voice ideas will be magnified beyond anything the world has ever seen before. And I'm going to quote what Alex Newman had to write about this. He said, "The assassin meant to silence this gentle soul as he engaged in friendly debate on a college campus. The goal was to stop the movement that Charlie was leading and the truth he was speaking. Instead, that bullet woke a sleeping giant. We will not be silent. Charlie's voice and ideas will now be magnified beyond anything the world has seen in my lifetime. By giving his life for God, family, and country in that order, as he was so fond of saying, Charlie officially earned his place in history." And Alex Newman is the writer who wrote those words, and he joins us now. Alex, great to have you back here on the show from the Liberty Sentinel Report. Great to see you.
Great to be here. Thank you guys so much.
So, thank you, Alex. So, when you say the goal was to stop the movement, now, I've been feeling that. I think we've all been feeling that. And it feels, this is not just one bullet, one person. This is a broader effort to stop what Charlie was saying. Do you see it that way?
There's no question in my mind. One of the things that's so interesting about Charlie is he's almost the opposite of most of the people you see who are famous, who are on TV, who are celebrities. They usually get worse and worse as their platform grows, as they get better. Charlie was like exactly the opposite. He was getting better and better on his theology, on his politics, on his understanding of issues, and he wasn't afraid to speak the truth. So I think they recognized, and I don't exactly know who did this, why they did this. You know, we know they've arrested this 20-year-old person. Personally, it looked very much like a professional hit to me. But the reason that the obsession was there with silencing him, whether he was just inspired, the alleged assassin was just inspired by all this, or whether it was a professional hit, as I suspect it may well have been, the reasoning is very clear here. Charlie represented an existential threat to this agenda. And part of that is he was going to the young people, right? I've been sounding the alarm about what's going on in education. In fact, Charlie and I worked closely on issues of education for years. I was the keynote speaker at two of his three recent education summits. They understood that if they can brainwash the next generation, it doesn't matter what we do politically. It doesn't matter what laws Congress passes or what executive orders President Trump does, because within a generation, maybe two, it's all over. And yet here comes this young man, 31 years old, precious family, and he's debating with young people. He's bypassing their programming and their indoctrination. And by the millions, they're becoming Christians. They're becoming conservatives. They're becoming interested in protecting our country, our civilization. They're becoming interested in getting married and having children. And so he was a mortal enemy for everything that these evil totalitarians are trying to do. But I think there was a real miscalculation here, because what has happened in the aftermath and what I suspect is going to continue happening is their worst nightmare. And praise the Lord for that.
Well, you know, we all see how movements can be transient, especially because of the internet. So we all get worked up about something and then we move on. And so my faith that this can be lasting has been fairly shaky, just based on the experience of, you know, how it feels like bombing Iran was a year ago. It wasn't. It was a matter of weeks, right? But at the same time, I saw something I'd never seen before, which was a teenage girl in a MAGA hat in Target this weekend. Usually it's men, it was just unapologetic group of girls in like cute little tight tops. And, you know, the trend, you don't need to know the fashion. But anyway, and I thought maybe there is something to this. So what gives you faith that this will be lasting?
Well, one of the things that's so interesting about this, Natalie, and I agree 100% with your sentiments, is this column that I wrote was actually published in our local Maine newspaper, which is owned by one of the Maine newspaper organizations in this country. To say they're no friends of Christians and conservatives would be the understatement of the year, okay? The fact that they published this, to me, was shocking. And what was also incredible to me is that the night after it happened, we came together at our church. My pastor, who happens to be a very good friend of mine, also the state director for Turning Point USA Faith, said, "We're going to do this for Charlie Kirk." We had Pastor Paul Blair come in, a good friend of mine as well. Charlie Kirk called him one of the most important pastors in America recently. And the whole place was packed. Our mayor was there. Our elected officials were there. And as we got closer, there was liberals, there was Democrats, there was Republicans. We're singing hymns. It's Well With My Soul. And at the end, as we got closer, one of the pastors who was there sharing some thoughts said, if you're ready to carry on the torch, if you're ready to get involved in a serious way, stand up. And boom, everybody pops up. The very next day, right here in my community where I live. It's a little small beach town in Florida. Hundreds of people with no central coordination, no message from Turning Point USA. They got together. And again, it was liberals. It was Democrats. It was Republicans. It was conservatives. It was Trump supporters. It was Biden supporters. And they're all crying and they're singing Amazing Grace. And you see kids who absolutely loathe Christians and conservatives crying and saying, you know what, I got to go watch some of his videos. Something big is happening here. And you know, don't get me wrong, there's no doubt in my mind that the evildoers are not just going to sit back and watch all of this. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see another bullet fly. I mean, they will try to derail this in every way possible. But what's happening here, I think, is more than political. I think it's spiritual. And frankly, you know, as a Christian, I don't believe anybody can stop what God intends to do, and I see God moving through all of this. And even the fact that people are talking in these terms, regular people who don't talk in these terms, tells me something is different about this than previous movements and things that flash in the pan.
Well, if I may, that Christianity is a big piece of it because it was threatening to a lot of powerful groups, including globalists. Many politicians who proclaim to be Christians are threatened by the power of Christianity. Various warring factions in the world right now, which I don't even have to name because you know who I'm talking about. So can you talk to me? Also, this comment saying Natalie has TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. I'm very comfortable around people in MAGA hats. That doesn't upset me at all. In fact, I'm probably more comfortable around people who own them than not. So that's not true. But let's go. Let's play out this Christianity piece, if you will, and how it was threatening to certain groups. And he was only 31. I feel like I never had a coherent thought until I was 31. What might he have been as this powerful spiritual leader?
Well, that is exactly what they were concerned about, Natalie. And if you look, for example, at some of the reports that are coming out, Charlie Kirk was a really good influence on Donald Trump. You know, we all have our disagreements, or at least we should have our disagreements with what the president is doing. And certainly Charlie did. And one of the things that's so interesting about a man in his position is he was willing to air them openly. He was willing to publicly say on his own show in front of millions of people, hey, Trump should have done this. He shouldn't have done this. And I understand from multiple people who know about these things that Charlie Kirk was, first of all, incredibly influential. Second of all, was urging the president to do certain things different. And so, yes, you're right. There are a lot of factions in the world right now that would have considered Charlie an enemy. In fact, just recently, he said maybe the Ukrainians were going to kill him. I mean, there's all kinds of reports out there. So I think it's still too early to know exactly who might have done this. I know we're supposed to just say, well, it was a radical left-wing college student who was living with a trans guy. And maybe it was. I don't know. But his faith was genuine. His theology was dangerous to the establishment. And he angered a lot of people, not for lying, right? And forget what the fake media is saying. Oh, he was a hater. Show me something hateful, he said, right? They were terrified because he was telling the truth and people were listening. And his platform is now so big. It was so big. It was impossible to take it from him. You could ban him from Fox and CNN. You could put out a note to all the big media outlets and say, don't ever mention Charlie Kirk again. It was too late. It's like trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube. It's not going back in. So this was an incredible individual. And this is a man whose views were an existential threat to the one world order crowd that is determined to steal our freedom, that is determined to destroy our country, that is determined to squash Christian civilization. And I think what we're going to see now is a revival. We're going to see millions of people who never would have thought twice about these things paying close attention. And I'll tell you what, Natalie, as sorry as this has made me, as sad as this has made me, I haven't died about a death since my dad died years ago. Something huge is happening here. Something good is happening here. And I'm encouraged by that.
May I just ask you, Alex, before we let you go, about the young people, you know, because what we saw in the wake of Erica's comments this weekend is 30, I think the number now is 37,000 applications for Turning Points chapters to be open and replicated across the country. 37,000. I'm sure that number has grown since the initial numbers have come in. But I can tell you just anecdotally talking to neighbors and about their children, their son, how they were devastated by this in ways that maybe us as older folks don't even understand. Because young people had this real connection to him in a way that I don't know that most people understand. And that 10 percentage point swing in this past election was incredibly pivotal for Donald Trump to win the presidency. So now you have like a, what is it, 8, 9, 10% swing that President Trump got from the previous election among young people in ways that we've never seen before. I think I'm personally thinking, you correct me if I'm wrong, the floodgates have been open now for young people. That call to action for them to get involved politically and to have their voices heard about taking their country back in a way that we have never anticipated before.
There's no question about it. No question about it, Clayton. I've been at many of Charlie Kirk's events. I've spoken at them, and I've never in my life, and I've been doing this for almost 20 years now, right? I've given away my age here. I've never seen so many young people so enthusiastic about God and country and liberty and family. You're right. The numbers that are coming in are extraordinary. I just spoke a little while ago to my friend who, as I mentioned, is the state director for Turning Point USA Faith. He can't even keep up with how many people want to get involved. Churches across this country get involved, small towns, schools, young people everywhere. So this really is what the enemy meant for evil, God is using for good. And, we got to encourage the young people, folks. I've been saying this for years and years. If we don't rescue the next generation, all the other fights that we're involved in are for nothing. So just give up now if you don't want to focus on rescuing the young people. Charlie was one of the guys who had figured out how to do it, not with everybody, but with a lot of them. And it had the establishment absolutely terrified. So as I've said, and as I concluded my column, we're all Charlie Kirk now. We all have a responsibility to go out, protect the minds and the hearts and the souls of these young people from the wicked indoctrination, from the nasty filth that passes for entertainment and education. And it's absolutely essential to do it. Charlie Kirk showed us how to do it, and now we need to continue.
Alex, we love having you on the show. Thank you so much for that. I think those are the words we needed to hear today, because so many people are feeling despondent about it. Where do we turn? Where do we turn when you realize there's a nation, there's a world right now of people that are coming together and using this as an opportunity to seize that. It's really incredible, and I'm so heartened by it. So thank you, Alex. Thanks for your great column, and thanks for your great work, as always.
Thank you guys so much for having me. God bless you both.
God bless you. Thank you.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk about canceling people in the wake, in their nasty reactions to the death of Charlie Kirk, because obviously this feels like a little bit of delicious poetic justice, but can it go too far? We want to make sure that we, as independent thinkers, are going to commit to not having moral hypocrisy. So I'm going to challenge you to think this through as we get to this. But before we do, we want to tell you about our friends over at Chapter. Because millions of seniors are on the wrong Medicare plan, and most don't even know it. In fact, Trump's Department of Justice recently sued three major Medicare brokers for allegedly claiming to be unbiased while secretly steering seniors towards the biggest kickbacks. Well, that's not what Chapter does. They were created in order to make sure that you have options for someone who doesn't work for the government or big insurance. They work for you. They're the only advisors that compare every Medicare plan nationwide to find what's best for you. They'll even help if you're hit with wrongful medical bills. So that's real advocacy. They've saved the average senior $1,100 per year. And in fact, one of our good friends used Chapter. They're saving thousands of dollars going forward. And the best part is that this is a free service for our audience. They can review your options in just 20 minutes. So call them today at the number you see on your screen. That's 202-655-5811 to connect with the only Medicare advisor that we trust here at Redacted. You'll be glad you did. And in fact, most of our audience says they wish they'd done it sooner. So again, call the number or go to askchapter.org/redacted. One more time, that's askchapter.org/redacted.
Someone in our chat room on Rumble says, it's on Rumble. Go Blue Forever says, free speech no matter what, but let the lefties bury themselves in their garbage talk. That's exactly how I feel.
Okay, let's pretend we don't already have preconceived notions about this and do an exercise in just challenging how we feel about it. Because I think that whether you like Charlie Kirk, whether you didn't, whether you thought he was anti-establishment or not, we need to think about if we are using the dirty playbook of the left as independent thinkers, okay? So I'm just going to challenge you for that, because over the weekend, dozens, hundreds, actually, of people were fired for celebrating the political assassination of Charlie Kirk. And many companies now are currently warning their employees, don't be next. Now, conservatives are sharing these firings, and they're teaming up to make sure that they happen online. This is an unofficial count from one of the influencers that I follow. So far, 173 firings. I think that's conservative. I've seen hundreds of them, and calls for more. So this may feel like poetic justice, but I just want us all to challenge ourselves to take a beat before we celebrate this and think, can we take it too far in punishing this? Now, I'm not saying these people don't deserve to be fired. I think most of them do, but I'm also not 100% convinced that this won't go too far, and I have proof that it has, in fact. I'm calling for us to collectively have deep introspection and not react too quickly out of anger or pain, which we collectively feel, I'm sure. Remember how far the left went to get people fired for their jobs for speaking out against vaccines, for refusing vaccines, for not calling a man, a woman, for not participating in gender hysteria. And they applauded when those people lost their jobs and said, you better go think about this. Hope you starve. They got them kicked off X, kicked off platforms. So here, we should stop to think before we applaud people getting fired. Is this cancel culture or is this different? Now, or is this professional consequences that have been mostly missing from our society? We see all the time, kids in school, they slap a teacher, nothing happens with that, right? That kind of thing, there are no consequences. Are we just bringing back a consequent culture? Again, I'm not leading you in any one direction here. I just want us to think about this before it is a runaway cart. Most of the people that were cost their jobs were grotesque celebrations of Kirk's murder. In this case, and I would effing freak if I had a kid in this class, a teacher showed the assassination video repeatedly to 10 and 11-year-olds in the fifth grade who were in a French class, and it was a sub who said, hey, you kids need to see this, and you need to know that this guy deserved it, repeatedly saying because he was a Nazi and a fascist, and this is what's going to happen to you. The kids were so traumatized, they went home crying to their parents. The school fired that person. That was a sub, wasn't even the real teacher. Can you imagine?
No, I can't.
I would freak out.
Just hearing from my guy friends, I'm 48 years old, hearing from my men friends who, like, these are like, you know, U.S. military folks who are like, they're like, I couldn't sleep watching that video. It made me, like, they tried to avoid seeing the video, and then, like, the close-up video popped up on their timeline. They're like, no. And they couldn't sleep. Can you imagine 10 and 11-year-olds?
Right. We are grown.
But that's even just, like, choosing to watch it or not. These children didn't have a choice, and they were told that he deserved it.
Right.
There's a special place in hell for that woman.
Now, I don't know in Canada if you can sue the school district, but I'd be prone to say do it if, you know, again, we need a lawyer to say, but anyhow, 100%, that person should be fired for traumatizing children. Not just for that alone, right? This woman was a school police officer in, I believe, either New York or New Jersey. She was fired for saying the sniper was overqualified to kill Charlie Kirk and put a smiley face about it on Instagram. 100%. That person who thinks political violence is acceptable should not be guarding children. She thinks assassinations are funny. I'm with you there. A cheerleading coach in Idaho said she hoped that he was dead when she learned about the shooting. Again, not someone suitable to be around children if she wishes death on people because they disagree with her. I'm with you. But let's think about how severe these punishments can become before we all the way go down this rabbit hole. This woman in California gloated over Kirk's death, and the online mob found her husband's business. She's an influencer in San Diego. She says dumb, privileged liberal stuff and other liberal idiots eat it up, which is her right to do. She presumably does this while her husband is off making money. Does his business deserve this? People found his business online. His company website was taken down. Reviews were tanked. Look at the Yelp right now. Yelp says we're reviewing if this is some kind of like media story. The reviews, though, do say this company's founder is related to someone who supports murder. And he's an electrician. So you might not want an electrician in your house if he feels like her, that political violence is justified.
Yeah, let's just ask the audience. Like, if you knew if you knew, like, hey, you're going through the phone book, remember phone books? And you're like, oh, I'm looking for evolution electrician, and you find out that this person is related to this horrible human being who was championing the assassination of somebody, calling for political violence, championing what it, you know, celebrating it. She was doing dances and like TikTok dances and stuff like that.
In
like,
an Eagle sweatshirt, Clayton. She was
don't even talk about that. But anyway, would you hire that person? Like if you had a choice and you knew that, I absolutely would not. But as someone in our chat says, Vault Tech 2021 says on our Rumble chat says, this is what I've been saying all weekend. Thank you, Vault Tech, for reading my mind. Words have consequences. You're free to talk, but every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So she was totally free to talk. She's at home all day while her husband's out actually earning a living. She's sipping Merlot and she's hanging out on TikTok, making TikTok videos about the death of Charlie Kirk. Those words have a reaction. Mm-hmm. And she's got to live with that. Didn't she think when she got on there that this could have an effect on her family?
No, she did not.
No, because she's...
She feels justified in saying that.
She's a Merlot-sipping, you know, navel-gazing...
main character
piece of
syndrome.
Garbage. Yeah, sure. Main character syndrome, exactly.
Okay, but again, we don't know how her husband feels. So we don't know whether or not he deserves this, whether... You just don't know, right? And so we can't make these consequences. And then now look how it's... gone too far because companies that have similar names but have nothing to do with this are begging for mercy, like this company, this woman.
We also own a business called Evolution Electric and Solar. My fiance is a electrician here in the city of Escondido. We have nothing to do with them. We are completely two different companies. And sadly, all day today, we had been harassed, threatened, received threat calls, text messages, emails. These calls are every second. And this is very sad because we are human beings too, human beings, and we do not appreciate that. We don't appreciate these calls. It's sad. It's horrible. We don't appreciate this. We would never do anything to harm anybody.
Okay, so clearly this is collateral damage of something that can go too far, right?
Yeah, so their business is getting caught up in what this woman did, you know?
And they have nothing to do with it whatsoever. So, you know, this is not a First Amendment argument. Of course, the First Amendment only prevents the government from punishing your speech. No one, as far as I know, has been arrested for these disgusting jubilant posts. But the First Amendment doesn't stop an employer from firing you because an employer can absolutely say glorifying murder should not be associated with our brand, and they can decide you are no longer a good representative of your brand. It's legal for them to do that. I don't see anyone saying this is a wrongful termination suit. Do you? I got fired because I said this. I mean, now that I think about it, there will be some dirty lawyer who will take this up and sue a company for firing them about Charlie Kirk. Yeah, we will see that. I'm pretty sure we will see that.
We'll absolutely
that somebody will say there was a Washington Post columnist that was fired for saying, like, no one's going to learn from this. This is what, you know, all kinds of things.
As a business, you have the right to who works for you. And you can say, I don't want people who are championing the assassination of other individuals. You know, we shared all of those blue sky posts the other day. All these people taking a blue sky, which is like a liberal echo chamber. And they're like, yeah, you know, we need to go kill this person next. You need to kill this person next. And they're calling for violence against all sorts of political commentators and people on television and so forth. Like, if we found out like one of those people like worked for you, like you'd fire that person.
Yeah, you don't want that. We wouldn't want that associated with Redacted in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, of course not.
Absolutely, yeah. We would do that. So again, I think that, you know, possibly this can go too far, and we have to think about this before we just get crazy. But maybe this is just a revival of professional norms. It's a reminder that what you say in public reflects your professional life. That's the way it's got to be. And unfortunately, liberals have had impunity to do and say whatever they want, you know, look scary in the workplace, whatever, you know, ask for special needs. Everything has been afforded to liberals, and they are shocked that they are facing consequences.
Lee Savannah, am I saying this right? Lee Sanvilla, sorry, in our Rumble chat says, I hate cancel culture. I do too.
100%. That's why we're doing this segment, because we can't be hypocrites about it. We cannot have moral hypocrisy.
I think like, you know, like you said, like businesses have the right to do that and citizens have the right to do that. Where I really get caught up or hung up on this is when you've got people in the government actually coming out saying that they're like, there was a senator that opposed something like we're going to use the full power of the Senate to come after you for posting these things. You've got like the president, vice president. That's where I have a problem.
You can't, the government cannot do this.
Yeah.
That's Gestapo tactics. That cannot stand. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that we, you know, celebrate people like Rand Paul and Thomas Massie and others. Who's like, no. Like, yeah, you know, a senator can go on social media and say, I find it repugnant that you would celebrate the death of, you know, whomever. Doesn't matter who it is. But then to say we're going to use the United States Congress to like start investigating, going
Nancy
after these
Mace
people.
Has said that she's calling on the Department of Education to defund any educational institution that does not punish anyone who said these things. So there was several at Clemson. Clemson's been trending because they had a lot of disgusting faculty who posted things like this, and they didn't fire these people fast enough. That can't be. Clemson has to tank themselves. And if they don't want to do it, they don't want to do it. And we have to respond accordingly. We cannot have the government doing this 100%.
But also, why are U.S. taxpayer dollars, as what J.D. Vance said earlier today, you know, U.S. taxpayer dollars were going to fund the likes of The Nation, who, you know, openly calling for or, you know, celebrating Charlie Kirk's death. Like, why are U.S. taxpayer dollars going to support these political commentating websites and so forth, or universities that are pushing this type of thing? You know,
but
that,
you can't punish them for it. That's
you can take away their money.
Thing. No, I'm saying that I don't think they should.
Well, I don't think we should be giving these places money at all anyway. So like I'm already a champion
because of this, I think.
Well, I think it can be. I mean, I don't know. Why are we giving taxpayer dollars to these public institutions anyway? They make billions of dollars. Like, why the hell do I have to fund them? Why do U.S. taxpayers have to fund them?
Well, that's a whole other discussion. Yes, I'm cool with defunding the Department of Education and not funding universities and making. Yes, I'm down with that. But again, it's a different thing to use the power of Congress to censor speech like this, because you have to be free to say heinous things, but yes, still suffer the consequences.
Yeah.
In a capitalistic world where we all decide we don't want to do business with you, you can't protect my children in a classroom. You can't do this if you like murder. So anyway, but the flip side of this, which also scares me, which we cannot ignore, is you don't want anarchists lurking in the silence, right? Because are you going to change the hearts and minds of these people who feel this way? Probably not. Do you want them to be silent so that you don't see them coming? That's scary. We have to admit that that's a terrifying, at least we have, you know, we want all the freaks out in where we can see them, don't you think?
Yeah, like on Blue Sky, like it's a good place to start. Like if you're hanging out on Blue Sky or Reddit, you know, like,
right,
you can pretty much get a sense of like what's going on out there.
Yeah, so say that, but again, yeah, so this is tricky. Nobody should feel completely convinced of one thing or the other. I mean, again, I feel convinced that anyone who puts this on kids, you know, who's around kids should not celebrate murder. Pretty clear on that one. Pretty good.
I don't need these like virtue signaling members of Congress like going out there telling me they're going to take away our free speech for some political cause that they believe in. Like that's, you know, in the same way that I don't want them telling me what I can and cannot say about Israel or whatever. You're going to take away my passport because I'm critical of Israel? Right. Like, screw you.
And then in a world where we have empathy, we want people to be able to support their families. We want people to live and prosper and work as productive members of society. What do we think should happen to these people, honestly? Like, nobody wants them to starve and freeze to death in the winter. So let's have some grace. Like, what happens to a person like that, like a cheerleading coach or a security, you know, detail in a school, or what do we think? What do we hope in a kind way? What could we say? Not just yay, go starve, F off, right?
No, I mean, I would say, I know there's this, you know, it depends on how you feel about going to church or any, you know, non-denominational or faith, but, you know, I hope you can be embraced by a community that could show you love. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, maybe you could go to church or something, or maybe you could go to a youth group meetup or something and talk to and have a conversation with people. Because, like, how do you have this kind of hate in your heart, like, for someone being assassinated? How, like, what kind of demons, like, are robbing you of your life that are, you know, you've been so swallowed up by this that you're celebrating the death of somebody like that?
Right.
Like, I hope that you find solace, whether it's through meditation, whether it's a group of, you know, like-minded people of your age who can maybe kind of pull you back from this abyss. You know, I don't know, but that's what I would say. And I, you know, I think maybe reflected in the same way that Charlie Kirk would say when he was in debates with people, he was always like, I just hope you're able to find peace in this. You know,
I want to see what our comments are, but you.
Okay.
I asked a real question. I want to see what people had to say. Is this, which one's working? That one? Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that very much. So let's collectively think about this before we lose our head, because we are a place where cooler heads prevail. We really try. And that's what I have to say about that. It's let's just think. We can't always think. We know, you know, what's best right now. So that's that. Anything else to add? Let's see. Anybody?
You wanted to read comments.
I did.
So do it. Talk about Brian Kilmeade, people.
I don't want to. Glenn Greenwald did a great piece on how Americans celebrated the death of Osama bin Laden, and that was a bad look for us. And I think you seek that out. I'm not going to repeat his. But, you know, anytime you're in a place where you're celebrating death, that puts you in the place where you've decided that you're God and who gets to live and who gets to die. And that's not what humans were designed to do. So let's all think compassionately right now. That's the only way we're going to get through this. That's how I feel. I hope that, you know, I hope that we challenge ourselves in thinking this through. That's all I'm going to say. Well, that's going to do it for any comments. Don't celebrate anyone's death. Yes. Celebrating murder. Did I bring a note for being late today? I didn't. So I'll have a tardy on my record.
I would argue that Natalie was absolutely on time.
Was on time.
Yep. There was just some problems.
Yeah.
No, we had some big tech issues. So basically had to, like, on our studio stuff, had to reinstall everything. And then drivers weren't working with our audio interfaces and everything. Like, so anyway, not to go down that rabbit hole, but yeah, we're here. Just if we were an hour late, we apologize.
Thank you for staying, though. We still have an impressive group here, and we really appreciate you being here and your thoughts and your contributions. Fantastic conversation today, even though we came late to you. We appreciate your patience more than we can say.
Fusion says, hey, my comment is stop putting 10 intros before your shoe. I think you meant show, but I'll stop putting comments in intros before my shoe. Here's what we do. We are live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. And so we run like an introduction countdown timer before the show starts. So there's no additional intro before our show. It's the countdown timer that starts before our show. And if you join us later, you know, join us right on time at 4 p.m., then hopefully our show starts at 4 p.m., unlike today, because we had a technical issue, so we started at 5 p.m. But normally we're always on time at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So the intro is just for people, because YouTube doesn't send out alerts. I get notifications from you all the time from people that are like, hey, I've subscribed to your show. I have the alerts turned on. Why doesn't YouTube send me an alert? I don't know. But anyway, we try to allow that like 15-minute buffer zone when we start the live intro and countdown, so that notifications can be sent out to everybody. So just so you understand.
Well, it's also like the old school like signal test. I don't know if anybody. I was an early riser as a kid. I'd get up for my Saturday morning cartoons, and you see that like half an hour signal test and everything that TV stations used to do, and it gives us that 15 minutes, gives us time to ensure that we are in fact live everywhere we need to be, that everything is running. It's a standard thing in broadcasting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just to make sure that, you know, you'll see the pool feed of like, yeah, the White House is about to go live, and you see the pool feed that's set up like 15, 20 minutes before President Trump starts speaking or something like that. So anyway, that's why we do it. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you for subscribing to the channel. We'll be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Hopefully all the bugs will be worked out. Thank you for your patience. Much love to everyone. Have a great night.